So if you remember, last Sunday night, we would have done the introduction. It started with the Tech Night, Digital Dangers. I hope that you appreciated that. And it's kind of put you on a journey of just trying to figure things out, because I do believe, here's the problem, I do believe we have to stay on top of things, okay? And that is where we can't put our head in the sand and go, well, I'm old now and I don't need to keep up with the latest and greatest. As a youth pastor, I have to keep up with the latest and greatest. And when you hear someone go, hey, have you heard about this? You're going to go, I never heard about that. And then you have to go and you have to search. You have to go hunt for things. And so I'm hoping that's what you saw from that night. Now, I had another guy do that for me in Miller's Creek Christian School, and he worked for the State Bureau of Investigation. And his stories are like kindergarten stories compared to where that man went with it. And I'm telling y'all, it's very dangerous, and it's a world that we need to stay on top of. But again, those doggone things in our hands, those phones, they are awesome tools. And so we just have to learn to teach our kids how to navigate through it. But then last Sunday night, what I done is I said, hey, what I want to do is, while there's multiple ways that we can look at this, I want to look at it in these stages. I want us to look at the stages such as the caregiver stage, and that would be from like 0 to 5. And so tonight we're going to do part 0 to 2, and then we'll do 3 to 5 next week, because we'll try to break them down to where I'm not just trying to just dump truckload stuff on you. And we'll talk through some things. I've got a couple of charts that we're going to walk through and kind of see why this is so important. And so we got the caregiver stage. We've got the cop stage. The cop stage is going to be from 6 to like 10, 11 years old, something like that. Every kid's a little different. So it ain't like you're going, well, you're 10 now. And so you ought to, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying those are stages that we have in parenting. And then we have the coach stage. The coach stage is going to be from that 11 to 18. And that is where you're coaching now. And so you're building upon everything that you've done, from the caregiver to that of the cop. And now it's kind of like I said last Sunday night, it's where you're out on the court as the coach, or you're out on the field as the coach, and now you're showing them how to do this. And they've already learned the techniques. It's just you're showing them how to better do it. So you're the coach. You're on the sideline. You're cheering them on. You're like, man, you can do it. This is amazing, okay? It come to you, didn't it? It was awesome. Yes, thank you, Jesus. So there's nothing worse than being a speaker and doing like this, you know. Anyhow, so in that, and then there's the counseling stage. And guys, I'm telling you, right now that's where I'm at, all right? And that is, I'm the cop. I have that going on. I'm the cop stage. I'm currently, right now, Melanie and I, we are in the coach stage, all right? And we are in the counseling stage, all right? And I will tell you, there's nothing that's going to drive you more nuts than the counseling stage if you're doing parenting right, okay? Because that's where, when they turn 19, 20, they're young adults, okay? Really, you should have been treating them like a young adult way before then, but they're young adults. And now what you're doing is you're just stepping back and you're giving some wise counseling, and you're praying, God, I pray may they have ears to hear what I've had to say, and may it build upon the things that I've already taught them, okay? So, are you ready? As a 19-year-old, my oldest, as we was giving her those wise counseling words, I know that I can sleep well at night because I did all that I could from that of 0 to 18. And now all I can do is pray that she hears what we've had to say. And you can't, listen, you're not the cop no more. If you're still copping them and they're 17 years old, you got problems, all right? We've got things we need to work on. And so that's why we want to be here tonight. That's why we want to look at tonight and say, okay, what does God's word have to say about this parenting thing? Because again, remember, as we said last Sunday night, these guys, these girls, man, they're gifts that's been given to us. God has given them to us so that we can do what? So that we can give them back to God. And you ready? And raise up warriors for Christ. That's really, hey, that's what I taught mine. I was always hoping that I would get the one phone call that they would say, so-and-so is in the office because she won't shut up about Jesus. And I always told them, if that was the case, honey, we're coming down. We're going to have some fun, all right? Because I want my kids to love my Jesus. I want my kids to see that live through my life. I want my kids, not just on Sunday, that's religion, y'all. This is parenting is every day. They see the real you, all right? We don't see the real you. They see the real you. My kids see the real me. And so that's why it's so important that it's every day in, day out. So if you take your Bibles, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 40, because I do believe we can go to God's Word and we can see from God's Word how we can parent. Isaiah chapter 40. Now, please know, I know that this passage is speaking about God, and so therefore I'm not going to read this and make you believe that you're a God. I'm not saying that, but I do believe that we can learn from God in the way that God does parent His children. I do believe we can learn from the characteristics and the nature of God. And by learning from the characteristics and the nature of God, what we do is we're able to see that where parents act as a servant-hearted caregiver, then what happens is we both love and we both want to love them and discipline them. All right. Remember, God's a both and. Because he says in the book of Hebrews, stay in Isaiah, but he says in the book of Hebrews, those he loves, he chastens. Those he loves, he takes to the woodshed. For those of you that knows what a woodshed is, I do. And the woodshed was amazing. Not, but anyhow. And so for me, I'm telling you, that's what parenting is. And God, that's the nature, that's the characteristic of who our God is and that of the God of the Bible. Because watch what happens. We're going to keep it in context as much as we can. I'm really going to focus on verse 11, but look at verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And then here's a great verse. If you mark in your Bibles, this is a great verse for also our Mormon friends. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Now notice verse 11. And notice the descriptive words for that of a parent, all right? He says this, I'll read all the way through and then we'll come back and knock them out. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Love that verse. Because what he's doing is he's showing us, Isaiah is saying, listen, this is the God that we serve. This is the God that has gone before us. This is the God that has been taking care of us. And what we find here is we find that it shows, God shows himself as a shepherd who does four things. He feeds them, he gathers them, he carries them, and he gently leads them. And showing us what love and care really looks like. What does loving care look like? And when we think about a 0 to 2 year old baby, all right, there's nothing greater. Like I love babies. There's one lady that brings her baby by here at the school, and just because of this right here, I'm not gonna. But as she brings that little baby, I love to give that baby coffee, and I love to give that baby like chocolate chip cookies, and I mean it's just amazing at what this mom will let me just. Just give this little baby, and he's got such the sweetest smile. I don't know if you know this or not, but it in that stage of life, it's just so amazing. It goes by so fast. Like you're sitting here and you're enjoying like the cuckoo, you know, and you're enjoying them kind of rolling around, but you're going, man, I can't wait till you can walk, or I can't wait till you can talk. And now we're wishing their lives away. But really, y'all, that 0 to 2 year old mark, they say is a very formable time within a kid's life. You say, how do you know that, Pastor Scott? Well, I'm going to speak from the foster care world, okay? Not that I'm a professional foster care worker, but we do foster care. And I will tell you that a lot of people would believe that if you could just get a baby, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks old, maybe 10 months old, that once you bring that baby into your home, it's too young for it to really remember anything that took place. But I will tell you that that is a lie. No, you would be amazed at what takes place in those first months of a kid's life as a baby, about how they're taken care of, how they're held, how their needs are met, and how it does cause some damage, or it causes some mental anxiety on that little baby's life. And so what we've got to realize is, as parents, is those 0 to 2 years old, while they're small and they're little and they're just cute little babies. Seinfeld, the show where it says there is no ugly babies, they proved there was ugly babies, but we won't, they're so cute, all right? But we've got to realize that there's a lot that we can do during those days that we could teach them about who our God is. There's a lot that can be done. And while we think, well, they can't talk to me and they can't tell me what's wrong with them, and all they do is lay there and eat and sleep and poop in their diapers. I mean, what could really be done there? And what I want to show you tonight is that through these four things, there is things that we can be doing for that stage of life. Like for instance, the first one there in Isaiah 40:11, he says, he shall feed his flock. He provided for their needs. He provided for their needs. Now notice, he provided not just their needs physically. God was more than that. God provided both their physical needs and he provided their spiritual needs. And so for you and I as parents, as we see this, we know too that as parents, we should be providing those things as well. We should provide those physical needs. We know that when a baby cries, by the time you get in, and we'll talk about routines and things of that nature here in a minute, but as you start hearing that cry as a mother — I'm not a mama — but as a mother, you go, that baby's hungry, or that baby's got a dirty diaper, or that baby's got, or that baby, and the dad's like, do what? And you're like, yeah, you need to go. And so, but we learn that about, well, why? Well, because we're the ones that are meeting those physical needs, but also we should be meeting those spiritual needs as well. I remember as a young boy, now I don't know how old I was, but I remember I was small enough, my grandma let me lay on the floor and she didn't find it to be a bother. You see how big I am, okay? I think I come out wearing Huskies. I mean, I don't know that, but it's to be decided. But anyhow. But I can remember as a young boy, small enough to be playing with matchbox cars on my grandma's floor, and I can remember my grandmother humming the hymns. So I believe also that from that 0 to 2 stage, by what I've studied and what I've seen, there are not just physical needs that need to be met, but there's spiritual needs to be met as well. And we can do that through that of just humming the hymns or reciting some scripture, or, hey, you ready? Really living out the whole, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, I don't know how y'all were, but like my kids, it drove them nuts. So I'd be coming in the mornings and you'd be like, wake up, little Susie, wake up. But anyhow, but you're ready. The older you get, you're like, wake up, nothing. You go on in there and I'm, you know, sir, you see what I'm saying? So we're there to feed them physically and spiritually. But God also showed them, you ready? By also, he gathered them. He drew them close. And by that, what it reminds us is that they're never alone. And so as that 0 to 2 years old, that fostering of security by drawing the children close, guys, in affection and attention and just being there in the presence. What that does is that teaches them who your God is. I remember we had one guy that was here that used to serve on our staff, and he would say these words: I never knew what it was like to have a father until I met the Father, until he met the God of the Bible, because his father wasn't what I would have. I remember one time he went with me to my mom and dad's house. My dad's a bee farmer. Well, he's a bee hobbyist. I don't know what constitutes a bee farmer or a hobbyist. I don't know. He's got a lot of bees. So as we went that night, I remember getting back in my car, and y'all, I take my parents for granted. Listen, I my parents, it's 2020, we celebrated 50 years, their marriage, and so now we're 55 years, and so they're both still alive. And man, I can't never remember my mom and dad arguing in front of us. I really cannot. I'm sure there was looks. I'm sure there was, but to me, I never remember none of that, okay? Not to say that we have the perfect parents, but you ready? But I took that for granted. And until I got in the car that night, and he looks over at me, he goes, dude, you're lucky. And I'm like, what? He goes, dude, you got your mom, you got your dad, and man, they are so loving. And I'm going, wow. But you ready? Maybe that had such an impact in my life at that 0 to 2 years old that, you ready, that I was able to sense that about who my parents are, be able to know that. I found security in my parents. I found acceptance within my parents. They say a lot today with kids. The reason why we have such an issue with that of the disciplinary issues is that dads, our kids are looking for acceptance. We don't accept them for who they are. We want them to be something else, or we want them to be what we want them to be, or we thought we should be. And so in that, they're looking for acceptance somewhere, and they will find it. They will find it somewhere. And so we have to be ones that shows them, hey, you know what? We love you for who you are. Now, not in their sin. That's nonsense. We won't talk about that because that's not what we're here to talk about. But we see then that he fed them spiritually, he fed them physically, all right? We see that God was the one that would gather them as lambs with an arm. And you got to remember this, as lambs, he would gather them with his arm, and you got to realize sometimes the hard-headedness of the lambs, that would be both with ease, come my little lamb, and then there's other times where you grab that leg and you jerk them back because, bet you ready? Don't do that to your babies. That'll get you in trouble. But in that, what it does is it shows you care. And it shows that you are there for them and you're there to protect them. We see thirdly from this verse that it says that God carries them. The support, we support them in their weakness. All right. God carries his people when they cannot carry themselves. And we know a 0 to 2-year-old, hey guys, ready? We have to step in to carry children emotionally and physically when they are overwhelmed. We have to do that. We have to step in. We have to carry them. We have to shore them up when they are overwhelmed, teaching that weakness is met with, watch this, with compassion, not rejection. That the weakness is met with compassion, because you remember, whenever we go to the Lord in our weakness, we cry out to him and we say, Lord, hear my prayer. And even to the point that David gives the picture in one of the Psalms where he says, pull your ear. It's a picture of David pulling the Lord's ear down. And it's kind of like if you take a 2-year-old, and that 2-year-old, you have to get down where that 2-year-old is. You got to get down to where they're at so that they see that even in that weakness, I don't know, like maybe they're toddling around and all of a sudden you run over and you scoop them up because they're about to fall. That shows them that you're ready, that you care, and that you love. But hold on a second, you ready? But it also shows them about who your God is as well. That's why also we must understand something. We have lost the sight of the fact that these are image bearers, all right? These are not just kids. These are image bearers. They bear the image of God. And so therefore, we should love them unconditionally. I mean, it should be a love. You're like, what are you talking about, Pastor Scott? Well, we have lost sight of that because we find that there's people that are easily killing people, both in the womb and even that of senior adults, and now just kill people to kill people, as we saw today at a church. So we have to realize that we're showing them that they're created beings from the Lord. All right. Parents, or nextly, it's to gently lead them. And if you look there in that last part of the verse, and shall gently lead those that are with young. God leads his people tenderly, y'all. I love that. Tenderly, especially those that are with young. Parents are called to lead children patiently. Isn't that hard? Oh my gosh. Yeah. And listen, like 3:30 in the morning and you got that baby and that baby's crying and you know, y'all know it. Some of you know how to pretend like you're really asleep well, like you're just laying there like, and you're not asleep because you hear the baby crying and you're just hoping someone else, like the lady next to you is going to get up, you know, and you're like, and she's like, can you go get the baby? And you're like, I got it last time. And you know, and so, but you ready? But just think about this. It's those 3:30 in the mornings that you're going to miss one day. Okay. I'm going to tell you a story. You ready? I love telling stories. Okay. And so here's what happened. One morning I got up early. It was like, it was 2:30, 3:30 in the morning. Shouldn't have turned the TV on. All right. I got scared. All right. So I don't know if you ever watched, and Carly was a baby. All right. And Carly, man, she was little. All of our babies were little. I don't know why, but they were. All right. But she was so little. And I remember turning on the TV and I just changed her diaper. And, you know, and I was trying to get her to go back to sleep. And as I was sitting there holding her, I turned on this show and the movie was called Wrong Turn. And that's a movie where it's filmed in the state of West Virginia, and there's some people that makes a wrong turn and they find out that they're in these woods where these cannibals are at. And so what they do is they eat your bodies. It's almost like when you go to Snowbird and you see where all the campers' cars are parked and there's this field of cars, you're going, that's like the movie Wrong Turn. That's not good. Anyway, I'm holding Carly. Now listen to this, y'all. I'm letting her protect me, all right? And she ain't nothing but a baby. And I'm sitting there going, oh, no. But you ready? But you're going to miss those times. Because you ready? Even in our tiredness and that of, man, we're just wore out. Hey, those days go by fast. And so it's through those days that we enjoy that just loving on those kids, gently leading them. And we do that patiently, setting boundaries though. And we do need to set boundaries, because a good leader, he will set boundaries. But hold on, boundaries are good, but boundaries are also bad as well. And so we need to be thinking as we're walking through this parenting thing, is that, you ready? That God sets boundaries for us. And are you ready? And there's consequences for when we cross the boundaries. And so we have to be able to do that with our kids, even as young as 1 and 2 years old, all right? Because it's needed. And direction without harshness, knowing growth takes time. And growth does take time. Because listen, you ready? We all have done it. I can't wait till they walk. I've already said that before. I can't wait till they can talk. I can't wait till they can go and use the bathroom for themselves. And what happens is we want them to hurry up and grow up. And what we need to be doing is just enjoying where they're at the moment. And just knowing that, you ready? I'm just going to be gently leading them through this time of life. And while I'm doing that, I want to show them a picture of God by the way that I parent. And so that's what Isaiah 40 verse 11 does for me. It gives me a great picture of that of who my Father is, of who my God is. And so what better person to look to, or what better thing to look to, not thing, what better person to look to than that of God, the God of the Bible, and how He parented that of His chosen people as well. And so as we looked at that, well, what we have to do is we have to realize is that we are in the moment from a 0 to 2 years old. We are in a care servant role. All right. We're in a care servant role. And in that care servant role, what we're doing is we're teaching them through that feeding time, or through that comforting time, or through that protection time. There's nothing more than seeing a mama go in protection mode when somebody shows up wanting to hold your baby, and you're like, you ain't holding my baby. And so you go into protection mode. You protect that baby. And so in doing that, you're living out that mode of being a servant and caring for that young child. One of the attachments, it says, attachment at this stage forms a child's sense of trust versus fear. Attachment during this stage, y'all, it teaches them how to have a sense of trust. And I told you earlier that as you have kids that maybe have come from a broken home through that of the foster care world, what you do find is that a lot of times, because they have been neglect, that trust is a big thing. Okay, even to the point that you can show them all the love and all the we had one, and again because of this, but we had one that you could love on and you could love on, but you ready? You would never hear from them, I love you. You can tell them, I love you, and you ready? Because of the neglect that had taken place just in a very few months, trust was a big issue, even as that of a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old. And so what we have to do is, Reinhard Thompson says, it says, if care is consistent, the child learns the world is safe and God is trustworthy. If care is consistent. Notice, I'll say it again. The child learns the world is safe and God is trustworthy. If care is inconsistent, the child may struggle with anxiety and mistrust. And so in that, what we have to do is we're teaching them during that time, we want them to trust us. It's kind of like when I was little and I'm a little older than that, I remember my dad teaching me how to swim, and he'd be like, trust me, I'll catch you. And you're like, but you ready? If I didn't really trust my dad, I would never jump into that pool. And what happened was in the early years, that trust was formed just from the fact of me, you ready? Feeding them, showing comfort to them, and giving protection to them. Now, I will tell you, later on, he taught me how to swim, and that was, he took me and threw me into the Yakin River, all right? He was like, here, boy, learn to swim. Oh, no. I'm sorry, Ken. Just leave it. Ken will help me later. Just leave it. We got to go. All right, and so what happens is, that's going to be sad. It's going to be gone by the time you get in there. It'll be okay. There's still a little left. And so in that, what happens is... I've sucked it up off the floor before. Yeah, but not today. That's where Winston walks a lot. Yeah, that's not good. And so in that, what happens is that if we're not consistent with that of our feedings and our comforting and that of our protection, then what it does is it causes that child to have mistrust in that. And so we want them to trust. Listen, there's nothing harder to teach a kid in that of trusting God if we've not allowed them to trust us. And trusting is hard. Now listen, you ready? That's where when you make a promise, you've got to be willing to fulfill that promise. So you ready? I was listening to a video today and you're like, yes, I'm still trying to cram all I could in my little head. And so in that, it said these words. It's kind of like when you leave a room and you know the baby, she's, you know, 1 year old, 2 years old, and they're crying. And you know how it is, mama. Like you're kind of anxious and you're like, I'll be back, you know. And if you say, hey, I'll be back, then you know what? You've got to be the one that comes back. And so you ready? And as they see you come back, even at 2 years old, they say, you ready? That helps grow their trust. It's whenever you don't come back. And that's where I was telling you, through that of neglect or through that of where a parent is just passing the child around from family to family to family to family, what it does is it hurts that and it doesn't allow them to really trust anyone. They have a hard time trusting. So now imagine if that's ingrained in them from that 0 to 2 years old and now they're 7 or 8 years old and you're telling them, listen, just trust in God. Well, that's already hurt. And so there's going to be a lot of work that's got to be done in order for them to be able to trust in that and in that of who we say we trust. And so we need to understand is that a child responds to cries. Responding to cries, we need to establish rhythms. Rhythms are awesome, such as like sleep and feeding. And then we need to show that affection because showing affection is so important in that of a kid's life. Just kissing all over them, you know, and just giving them big hugs, showing them that affection. Because remember, that's what we want too when we run to Jesus. We want that affection. It's kind of like the picture of the prodigal son. And as he's coming back home, and he's filthy, nasty. He's got pig junk all over him. And you're ready. And then the father comes off the front porch, which is a picture of God. And he comes off the front porch and he just wraps up his son and he just loves on his son. And that's what we need to be showing to our children of all ages. We need to show that to them. Why? And even to the point that my father would tell me this, and I think I shared this last week, maybe not. But my father never heard the words, I love you, from my grandfather until my grandfather was 70. And so, but you ready? But you know what my dad did not allow to do? My dad did not allow that to filter over. He didn't play the victim and say, well, you know what my dad was always real good to do? To tell me that he loves me. My dad did a fabulous job of that. After my dad would discipline me, my dad was always quick to go, son, I'm sorry, that hurts me, but I love you. And I'm going, whatever, Jack. But now as a father, I understand. I go back and tell my dad, I understand what you said. I know what you said. But you ready? But I was quick to, he was quick to show that love and that affection. Discipline in infancy. And what we have to realize is discipline is not harsh correction, but it needs to be a loving training. It needs to be to where you and I are given that of routine or boundaries. It's given to that of the point that it, what it does is it gives them emotional security, doing predictable rhythms. Predictable rhythms is like nap time. I know now, man, we're like going all the time. Like every Saturday we're going somewhere. And I'll tell you, when our little one don't get the nap, you know what's going on, son. We call it hangry at my house. We got to get food in the belly so that we can lose the angry. All right. But in that, what we realize is that if we take her out of her routine, man, things go south. And so what we have to do sometimes, parents, is we have to give up some of our what we want to do for the sake of the growth of that child, for the sake of the emotional security for that child. Because we know, you ready? There ain't nothing worse than being in Walmart about 2 o'clock in the day and you hear some kid just screaming and you're thinking to yourself, man, I wonder if that kid needs a nap. All right? We're all guilty of that. All right? But you ready? But then we also make a lot of other assumptions, and shame on you. You shouldn't do that. But in that, but we wonder about it. But because of why? Well, because rhythms. I'm reminded when we think of rhythms of how important they are. I don't know if you saw the videos where they play the Whitney Houston song and they're sitting there with a snare drum and they're trying to hit whenever she starts, and you know. So I love watching that because it's so hard to hit that right rhythm. All right. But in that, it is so important to your child for you to be in those rhythms, to be able to have those rhythms. Why? Well, because when we have that, then it promotes mental security and it promotes stability. Stability is important in those 0 to 2 year old's life. Stability, knowing, you ready? Knowing what is and what ain't getting ready to happen. And when they see that they're stable, then what happens is you and I, we begin to grow in that time of that emotional security. I remember when you think about routines, it's kind of like this. We'd be driving down the road, and I'm a terrible singer, but I would sing when no one's around or my kids are with me. I'll do it all the time. You ready? And I'd be singing, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and I just stopped. You know why? Because at a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, I'm working in the routines. And you know what? We made it fun. They'd go, Zacchaeus, you come down. In whatever 2-year-old, 3-year-old voice they had. And in doing that, what you're doing is you're teaching them about, you're teaching them God's word. You're teaching, but you're ready and you're making it fun. You're making it enjoyable. And are you ready? And you're using these rhythms. You're using these rhythms. You're singing maybe as you're driving down the road. I do believe, listen, this is my opinion. I do believe that Christian music is so important as well. I do believe that. Now, you didn't hear me say 88.1. You didn't hear me say 106.9 or 99.1, the river. I'm just telling you, I do think Christian music, playing Christian music, is a big value to that of the growth of your child. Now, you ready? Maybe you've got your country music station. You do you, all right? But I will tell you, way back early, I was probably 25, Matt Stockman from 106.9 The Light came to our church in Granite Falls, and he gave that 21-day challenge, and that was cut off secular music and just listen to Christian music for 21 days. And that, y'all, the first 10 days was miserable. All right, I'm just telling you, like, this is the worst thing in my whole life. I'm like, this is not music. This is godforsaken, nasty, okay? But you ready? But the more I got away from it, that you ready today, I just don't, all I listen to is just different genres of Christian music. It could be, right, y'all was with me on Saturday, it could be Christian rap, it could be Christian bluegrass, it could be Christian rock, it could be, but you know what, I want to play Christian music because I see the value in my own life, but also see the value in the life of my kids as well. And so I just made it a point. From now on, I'm just going to listen to Christian music, all right? But I'm also going to be careful with the Christian music that we play. Huh? Listen, I would agree. All genres of music, yeah. Yeah, I would agree. The music is way better. I do think we have a better selection today. But here's the... Correct. See, and I don't listen to radio. I do a Bluetooth. Like, I bought a Bluetooth to put in my cigarette lighter. I'm not putting a new radio in. That's silly. When I can spend $25 on a Bluetooth thing and I stick it in there and I just turn on my Spotify and I choose the music that we're going to listen to. And so, like for instance, you can listen to one song. My Mia loves it. And the song is Wake Up in the Morning. And that song is by Flame. And there's nothing better than to ride down the road and wake up to this morning. And you're enjoying the fact that you're ready. I woke up this morning. And another one would be V Rose. She's going to be I Surrender All. So it's a kicked up. We do Forrest Frank as well. Yes. But here's what I want you to know. I think it's important that we have those routines. Setting bedtimes, that's tough too. Listen, today as a youth pastor, I hear kids telling me, are you ready? I don't go to bed till 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't go to bed till 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't go to bed till 11:30 in the morning at night. And I'm sitting here going, holy cow, you mean to tell me? But that's healthy for that child. It is healthy. And so for us, we've always done that. We've always just said, hey, here's bedtime. And you ready? And they'll go in there and they'll lay down in the bed and they'll go, I'm not tired. You're like, I don't care. It's bedtime. Because I know there's value in the fact of going to bed at 8 o'clock. You're going to bed at 8 o'clock. My older ones, you would get about 9:30. 9:30 is when you're going to go to bed. I'm sorry, but that's what we're going to do. We know what's better for you. And so we set those bedtimes. Again, you're helping set something of what? Some form of discipline. You want that in their lives. You're the one that's guiding. You're not just letting them live however. I'm telling you, until you become a youth pastor and you go with 50 kids to Snowbird, you find out a whole lot of things. All right. So anyhow, but it also teaches them not just a routine, but predictability. And that's a good thing. predictability is great in a child, because remember, what we're trying to do is teach them some emotional security. And so also, not only do we have the care servant role in that of our of the 0 to 2 years old, we have the discipline in infancy. I do think we ought to have disciplines in that, and that is through the routines, being predictable in what we're doing, like sleep and feeding, because it does help promote mental and security and stability. But then also there's that spiritual formation. I think that's a big one, because we believe that God has given them to us, and therefore we are now giving them back to the Lord. That would be Samuel. And so in doing so, infants don't grasp doctrine, though. Please know that. So as a one-year-old, if you're teaching them the nature and characteristic of God, that's wonderful for you. And if your child can gather that, that is even more amazing. And that might be the next, I don't know, Vodi Bakum. Who knows? But we do know this. You ready? While they may not grasp that, but they feel God's love through the parents. Remember, I told you very early in this class, I told you that I don't ever remember my parents fighting in front of us. That doesn't mean they didn't fight, y'all, okay? Because I know I'm married, all right? So, but my parents knew the value of not fighting in front of us. And they knew, hey, you ready? Even in that if there was an argument, or if there was, that they was always quick to resolve. For the what? For the sake of the kids. See, a lot of times we get caught up in self, and we get, it's me, it's me, it's me. And what we lose sight of is the child. But now hold on a second, you ready? But then you can also go to the extreme of that, and your whole world revolves around that child. So one day when the child turns 18, you and your husband don't know each other no more. And that's dangerous as well. Or you and your bride doesn't know each other no more. Why? Because your world revolved around that kid. And that's not what I'm promoting here. What I'm promoting is that we're just giving them a healthy, emotional, stable type of life in that of those years. What we need to do is through research. The research shows that children develop a felt sense of God through care. I'll say it again. Research shows, and I'm going to read that to you just here in a minute, because I have this wonderful chart in front of me, and what's the point of printing it off if I do not read from it? And so research has shown that the children develop a felt sense of God through care, safety, and their environment. I think that's huge. And so in that, this lady, her name is Beverly, and get this, Christian. I know, right? And so it's in an article called Attachment, Nature, and the Young Child's Felt Sense of God. All right? I'll give you the place you can go for this. It's called the Journal of Research on Christian Education. All right? The Journal of Research on Christian Education. And this came from a website called the Avondale Research. All right? Now listen to what it says. This article suggests that young children develop a felt sense of God through attachment experience with people and through the sensory encounters with that of the natural world. The ideal is that when children are cared for with sensitivity, their hearts are open to wonder, trust, and spiritual awareness. I thought that was pretty cool. And no, I didn't go hunt for that with just that one. There's others here as well. I thought that was amazing, because I don't know if you've ever seen, but kids, they're amazed. Like we got a picture of our smallest one, and she's sitting there holding a lizard, y'all. And I mean, she's little, okay? And she's just amazed that we're down in Florida, and that's where Melanie's parents live. And she's just sitting here looking at it, and she's just amazed at that lizard. And it's like, and you're right, it's just wonder of that of a child. And so what we're doing is, but because remember, we want them to know that we serve the God that created it all. We want them to know that it is God who created them. We want them to know that they were fearfully and wonderfully made. And we want them to be able to know that. Hey, ready? Through all of those things that takes place during that 0 to that 2-year-old mark. He says this. So how does this help with the caretaker of stage? It says this. Since this is a great for helping parents see spiritual formation in early years, not just teaching, but creating environments, touch, nature, sensory experience, where children perceive God's love. I like that. It's kind of weird to me, though, that a lot of people put Noah's Ark in their nursery, and y'all remember what Noah's Ark was, right? That was death of millions, if not billions of people. But yet we put the ark in our nursery, and I find it, looks, I'm not judging you. We did it too. It was only until I went to the ark up in Kentucky, which I'd encourage, hey, here's you a great parenting tip. Don't go to Disney. Don't waste your money there. Hey, listen, we used to do when our kids turned 5 years old, what we would do is we would take, because her parents live in Florida, we would just take them down and we would celebrate their fifth year birthday for one day. All right, for one day. That's all I can handle, that place. It's a small world after all, can only go so far. All right, for one day. And then when they went crazy, all right, we just decided we'll spend our money otherwise. And so what we've done is we went to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. That is an amazing place to take your kids, all right? It's a great way to spend your money. Now, you ready? You're like, is that Ark biblical? Well, no, the size is. I don't know what it really looked like, nor do you. Don't worry about it. Just remember, though, they did build it to the size that the Bible said to build it. Now, everything on the inside is their thought, right? Just like you have your opinion as well. But it's just amazing to me that how we can take them to something like that and their minds are just beyond, all right? And how we want them to grow into that of the understanding. And so we create those environments. We're intentional in the places in which we put them. Hey, here's another complete opposite. You ready? Isn't it mind-boggling how people celebrate Halloween these years? I mean, this is crazy, y'all. I'm telling you, for us in our neighborhood, on one side you've got like death and gore, and on the other side you've got and I'm pulling out with a 9-year old, all right? And as I'm pulling out, they're added more, and she's going, "Daddy, what in the world?" And so you ready? So we have good spiritual conversations about what is Halloween, y'all. Halloween when I was a kid, it wasn't that. I just don't remember it that. Now maybe it was, and I was too young to know it. But it is grown to be very, very wicked and very demonic. All right. So you've got to create that environment for them. You have to be the one that does that. Because as a 2-year-old, you can't, but you ready? But isn't it weird of how we'll dress up our 2-year-old and things that we'll dress our 2-year-old up in, and then are we creating an environment that is leading them to our God, that speaks of our God? Or are we creating an environment of just complete demonic world? All right. I don't know. Something to think about as a parent. And so what we see here then is it gives practical ideals beyond verbal instruction. So what we do, it's beyond verbal instruction. We have to give it to them in a visual sense, because remember, they don't talk to you. All they do is go goo, 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 or they go, ah, you know, either one, you choose. I like the goo, goo, goo. All right. So in that, though, what we have to realize is then we have to be intentional for what we do and what we don't do. And I still go back to this. You ready? I believe them hearing the word of God. I believe in that of singing songs that have got good Christian lyrics to it, or nursery rhymes. All right. Although you go back and study some of the nursery rhymes, y'all, those things are whacked out too. I'm just going to go ahead. You go back and study. We won't go down that path. But we have to be intentional in that. And we have to be thoughtful in that. Because why? Well, because we're building on these years, these 0 to 2-year-olds. And so here's some things that I underlined, all right? Here's some things that I believe we can do as parents. Number one, I believe we can pray over our children, all right? As a 0, a 1, a 2, we ought to be praying for them. We ought to pray over them. Listen, right now, you should be praying for their future bride or their future husband. You're like, I don't want them to get married. See, I didn't either. I had this thought that the rapture would happen before... I did. I prayed for it. You can ask my family. God, please let the rapture take place. God, I don't want first dates. I don't want proms. Lord, I don't want. And I got 4 girls, y'all. What in the world? The Lord's got a sense of humor. And so I remember the day that Olivia got married, and I told her, and she looks at me. She goes, "The rapture didn't happen, Dad." And so we have that. We have that. But you ready? But they know that I'm looking forward to it. They know that's my hope. My hope is that one day I'm longing to hear that trumpet sound. I'm longing to hear, because you ready, guys? That's what I live for. I live, and I want my kids to know that's what I live for. And so even at that young of an age, I believe that we ought to be ones that pray over our children. We ought to be praying over them. So that's one. Another one is I think we can sing hymns. I do believe singing songs, singing those songs that just instills in them at a very young age. They hear the joy within those songs. They hear the truth that's within them songs. And it's that message, or it's that psalm in Psalm 118, verses 1 through 2. It teaches them that God loves. It teaches them that God hears. And it teaches them that God responds. I mean, just teaching them those songs. Here's another one. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hey, you ready? I love this song because we would jam on this and the B-I-B-L-E. All right, now you're teaching them the spell and you're teaching them that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. It's the B-I-B-L-E. Another one would be, you ready? And this is the youth songs I grew up on would be like, he's still working on me. It took them just a week to make the moon and the stars. Guess what they're learning now? They're learning creation. And you're singing that to them, and you're ready, even at a young age. Yo, I sung that in youth choir, and that didn't mean, I'm like, okay, he's God, and he does some cool things. But my public school was teaching me that the earth was millions and millions of years old. So that's another story. I'm trying to slam all that together. But that song means so much. There's so much truth in those songs. So we can pray over them. We can sing hymns. Hey, you ready? Here's a good one. Bring them to worship. I think it's sad that we make the excuse where they're just too young, so we stay at home. And listen, you ready? I think it's awesome to see babies in our sanctuary. And if the babies start crying, then you get up and you go, all right? But you ready? You know what you're teaching them at that young of an age? Is you're teaching them that of worship. You're teaching them that, hey, you ready? Worship means something to me. And hey, maybe they are a little rambunctious. Who cares, all right? Listen, y'all. One day they're going to be 5, 6, 7, 8. What better way to let them learn at 1 and 2 than to try to force it on them at 6? Teach them now. Teach them while they're young. And these experiences, what they do is they shape the heart before the mind. They shape that heart. That heart is what we want to get to. And the reason why I say that is because we're so big about framing the mind. We're so big about teaching them the rules. And it's kind of like this. While rules are important, I had someone one time tell me that we need to put a dress code into our youth group, all right? And so I hear my heart, and then you can judge me how you'd like. I said, that's wonderful. By whose standard do we set it by? Do you want me to set it by your standard, or do I set it by your standard? And then do I set it by your standard or your standard? Whose standard? And then who's going to be the one that stays at the door and checks the standard? Think about all that. And then what if we have a guest? Do we not allow the guests to come in because they're not dressed to our standard? Because remember, I'm on the school campuses and I'm inviting any kid that wants to come to our youth group. So now we've got a problem with that. Oh, let's go get them a shirt to put on. Oh, so now let's embarrass them and then they'll not come back. Hey, you ready? Why don't we reach their heart with the Word of God? Because you see, it's the Word of God that changes the heart. That's what God's Word says. If we reach their heart, hey, you ready? We can give them all the rules that we want to give them. I'm telling you, I see kids do this. We got parents that just pump them full of rules, You can't do this, you can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. But we're not focused on reaching their heart. And then when they turn 18, 19, they deconstruct. They're gone. And the reason why is because we're just rule setters. They didn't see it in our heart, and so therefore they didn't see the need for it in their heart. And so that's why, so these 0, 1, 2-year-olds, man, it's so important for them to see that joy that's in our heart. Today is the day that the Lord has made. That's not just Sunday, y'all. That's every day. Let us rejoice. Man, get up in the morning. Be excited. You're like, I'm not a morning person. Well, that's wonderful. It ain't about you. It's about that little one, that 1-year-old, that 2-year-old that's looking to see the smile on daddy's face. That's looking to see, you know, that hug as you're pulling them up out of that crib and you're just picking them up. And even though they got the nastiest, filthy diaper, you just want to hug them tight because they're so scared. That's what they want. That's what they long for. But listen to me. That's what you want and long for from the Lord. Hey, I want my God to put His arms around me sometimes. I want God to give me the needed strength in my weakness that I need. So if that's what we want from our God, from our Father, then are you ready? Then why is it that not what we give to our children? We want to show them that nurturing. We want to love on them. So here's a couple questions. I'll let you chat it up. First of all, what does my child learn, all right, about God through how I meet their needs? Somebody tell me how you meet their needs. How some ways that your child can learn about that of God while you're meeting their needs? What does my child learn about God through how I meet their needs? Okay, trust. Okay, very good. Ooh, there's two big words there, needs and wants. Very good. Yes, you do trust, but there's the needs and wants. The needs are met. My God is a God that meets our needs, all right? And then there is the blessings above. My grandfather taught me one time at Kmart, as we're in Kmart, my grandfather says, "You see anything you need, son? We're checking out." And of course, my mind as a, I don't know, maybe 8, 9-year-old, I'm like, "Yeah, there's a Hot Wheel car back there I love, Grandpa." And he says, "Oh no, son, need." And that day, my grandfather taught me needs and wants. He says, "No, son, we're talking about needs. Needs is baloney. Want is a steak." And so I do believe that they learn from that God is one that provides for our needs as we do that. Anyone else?
Love.
Love. Yeah, that's true. That's true, too. Because definitely you're not giving them like chocolate chip cookies, although I do that for kids, or coffee. But you do. Yeah, you show that. Anyone else?
Grace,
very good. Hey, let me ask you this. How many of y'all pray before you eat? That matters in front of a 2-year-old. You should. Hey, how many of you pray after you eat? Do you know the Bible teaches us to pray after we eat, not before we eat? Isn't that weird? No, I don't pray after I eat, but we should be thankful afterwards because our bellies are full. But now our bellies are full and fat and sassy, we just move about our day. And you're ready? They really should be seeing you pray all the time. Because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. How many times do they see you just riding down the road? Not because someone's in front of you driving you nuts. Oh, dear Jesus, get them out of my way, Lord. No, not that. But really, you're just praying. It'd be good for them to see that. All right? Here's another question. What rhythms can I establish now that will create security for my child? What can you create now that will help create security for my child? What's some things you can do now?
Bedtime.
Huh?
Bedtimes
are wonderful. Yeah, I really do think bedtimes are great. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, not all my kids loved it. I remember one nap time, I had one look at me and said, "I am not going to sleep." Good, lay in your bed, look at the ceiling. I really don't care. You're going to lay in that bed, all right? But I'm not going to sleep. I don't care. You're going to lay in the bed. Only to find out that you go back in and 15 minutes later. Okay. But you ready? If I let her have her way, then what have I done as a parent? Well, I've let her see that she's the one that sets the boundaries. Yeah. Even at a young age. Yeah.
Bedtime without the phone.
Oh, yeah. See, that's going to be teenagers. Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll tell you something else that I had to do. And I don't know what happened. This was maybe my bad. Is that when my two oldest were real young, I would have to go in there, and y'all, I don't know what I did, but I did something wrong, all right? But I would have to lay there in the floor and touch. So you had my two oldest, and I would have to lay in the floor and touch both of them until they fell asleep. I don't know what I did. I don't know what happened. But I just remember, and you're just laying there. But now you ready? There was nights that I was aggravated, all right? I'm just going to be honest with you. I'd rather be in there watching Monday Night Football, all right? But you ready? But there was nights that I thought to myself, why don't I just pray for him right now? I confessed my sin. There was nights I was aggravated. But there was nights I just prayed for my girls. Because you ready? Now they're not there to do that. And so while that was an aggravating moment, I don't know what I'd done wrong. But man, you just had to lay there, all right? And then you'd slip out and you'd be real quiet. I just remembered that. That was crazy. I also remember, you ready, when they're real young, doing like the books of the Bible with them. All right? Just those small things. Just showing them, just again, God's Word. All right? Anyone else? What's some rhythms? Bedtime.
Meals.
Yeah, meals is a big one. Meals is you not letting them choose. Like, I don't like... That's crazy. If you do that as a parent, I'm just going to tell you, God bless your heart. You're going to have a long road to hoe, okay? You're really setting up a lot of bad stuff. All right? And you're like, yeah, but it's a microwave. I could do it so quick. It's not the point of being quick. It's the point of that you not teaching them that you're ready, that the need has been provided, and this is what we're eating, and so therefore this is what we need to eat, okay? But what we do is we have a lot of parents that make three or four meals in one night, and you're meeting, hey, you ready? You're not meeting their needs. You're meeting their wants, okay? Now, you're right. Do you do that every night, Pastor Scott? Listen, there was nights to where I'd go, hey, tell me what you want. I'm not saying that I was like, whoa, you know, but I do believe there is a part in that. And you ready? I remember growing up, I don't ever remember my mama going, well, hang on a second, honey, let me go make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, okay? I don't remember that. I remember one time eating cauliflower. Oh, Lord. And we found a worm in it because that's when we worked in the gardens and stuff. Y'all, I'm just telling, it's teaching the kid, all right, by just meeting whatever they want, you're showing them it's not healthy because of the way that no longer is it your needs are provided. Now it's whatever I want. And that's dangerous. Even at a two-year-old, you set up that routine now because listen, I promise you, they don't get any easier when they're five. All right. And now by the time they're five and six, now you got little monsters. All right. And you're like, I just cannot. Okay. Well, but is it too late, Pastor Scott? No. You set boundaries now, whatever age they're at. Set the boundary now and say, hey, as for me and my house, this is what me and mama decided we're going to do. And you ready? And then you and mama, you and daddy, that's what you have to stand by even whenever things go boo, crazy like World War III because y'all decided that was what's best for your home. Remember, it's God the one that made the decision. Hey, ready? God is an all-knowing God. God is a God that goes before us. And so therefore, God determines already. And so for that, that means that we don't go, well, God, I would like for you to do this. All right, now, wait a minute. You can pray if you want to, but you should always end those prayers with if it be your will. Hey, Dad, if it be your will, can I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? All right. Anyone else? Yeah. When we get to that coach stage, yeah, you better believe it. But I'm telling y'all, listen to me. Those of you that got young kids right now, what you're doing right now in the cop stage will help you in the coach stage. I promise you. Your coaching stage will be a lot easier if you do a good job at copping. Being a cop is so important. And that is just setting the rules, living by the rules, and making consequence for the rules. Okay? It still blew my mind that one summer when I had that mama and I asked her, I said, well, how was you disciplined growing up? And she said, well, we were spanked. And I said, well, why don't you spank at the house? And she said, no, I said, and how did that work? She said, well, I think I turned out pretty good. And I said, well, then why don't you do that at home? And she said, well, we decided we'd do something different. And I'm going, okay, wait a minute. That's strange. If you knew it worked, it was not going good. Okay. Yeah. So, but hold on, you ready? But can I also tell you, with us having four, everyone had to be disciplined differently. Okay, I could wear one out until the whole world come to an end. And ready, and that would still look at me and go, okay, all right. But I found it. What I found was that she loved gymnastics, and when you got it, you jerked it, and you're like, really? That was her way? No, I jerked it. You jerk it. Why? Because you want them to learn. And there's consequences for breaking. Hey, even to the point, y'all. Now, listen, this is coming. I'll have her clip all this off. All right. But this is even coming from that of a pastor. I had one that was helping in children's church. And she was being disrespectful at the house. And I told her, I said, you'll go and you'll tell that our children's pastor, you're done. You're not going to help no more there. If you can't, because you can be respectful there, but you can't be respectful at home. And she had to go in. Tell that children's pastor, hey, I'm done. And I said, good. And that children's pastor come to me and said, man, what's going on? I said, my kid ain't going to be disrespectful to me at the home and then be that way. That's hypocritical. We're not going to do that. And you're like, that was church. No, she still come to church. She just didn't get to do what she wanted to at church. Again, it's you in the cop stage. It's important. I'm telling you, be a good cop, all right, while you can, because you don't want to do that during the coaching stage, all right? But listen. It's very rewarding. I promise you, we have loved all stages. Okay, so if you're in that early stage, listen, it's fun. Those later stages are wonderful. Just lean on the Lord and let the Lord be what guides you through that. Because I promise you, there's great rewards. All right, we good? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for our day. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I just pray you be with these parents and grandparents. And God, may we see, Lord, that that we need you, Father. God, we need you in all stages of our lives. God, we need, Lord, as parents, Lord, you to be the one that guides us. Lord, we can read all the self-help books we can possibly find, but Lord, I believe ultimately it is your word that teaches us how we can be good parents. And so, Lord, may we lean on that. May we grow from that. But then, Lord, be with our kids. Lord, may we all as a big group, Lord, come alongside one another and help one another in that of growing and just growing these young kids up. Lord, we love you. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.